Today we're starting a new broadcast, a new theme. We're going to talk about the King James Only controversy. What does it mean? I'm definitely dead set against this terminology, King James Only, when applied to me, when applied to our Bible for Today ministry, when applied to our Dean Burgon Society, and when applied to many of our friends that are in the Dean Burgon Society. I despise this terminology. It's a smear term, and it's a term usually connected with the false teachings and the heretical teachings on the King James Bible of Dr. Peter Ruckman of Pensacola, Florida, and his followers. And when it's applied to us who are taking a strong position on the King James Bible, but also the underlying Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words that underlie our King James Bible. And we're not the Ruckmanite variety type of people. And the smear term that is used, King James Only, is often applied to us. It's applied by James White, for example, in his book, King James Only Controversy. It's applied by Bob Jones University in their books and those authors and graduates of Bob Jones and other places. And we believe this is a terrible, terrible epithet and a smear term. I wrote a tract on this subject, and I want to talk about that as well as other things on this theme in the next month or so, or a few weeks, I guess it would be, not necessarily months, but a few weeks. And the topic is called, or rather the tract is called King James Only, What Does It Mean? It's BFT number 2840. I want to send a copy to you, free and postpay, to those that are interested in it. Simply ask for a copy. King James Only, What Does It Mean? A tract 2840. So let me just read it to you and comment a little bit about it. An inaccurate term, that's the first heading that we talk about. And we say that many years now, opponents of our King James Bible have hurled unkind epithets at those of us who have the firm conviction that our King James Bible is the most accurate and the most valid translation in the English language available today. Now that's all that we say. It's the most accurate. We don't agree with the Ruckmanite terminology that's God's breathed or given by inspiration of God or inspired of God. We don't believe that. We don't believe that God wrote those words. We believe that man translated those words from the words that God did write in the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek texts and words, and which have been preserved by the Lord through these years, and which are the very words that underlie our King James Bible in those languages of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. But we think it's the only accurate translation. That's the extent of our position here at our Bible Today ministry. We're not crackpots like the Ruckmanites are on this subject of the Dean Burgon, of the King James Bible. We're not crackpots on that subject at all. We believe in a sound, sane, and sensible approach to our King James Bible. Not an extremist position of any kind. And so those people that are using this King James Only epithet and term to smear us and to yoke us up with the Peter Ruckman position are just simply wrong in what they do. And we don't agree with it. We want to make it clear. It is the most accurate translation of the King James Bible in the English language today. Now, these people have been against those of us who believe that the King James Bible is God's words kept intact in English. One of these unkind epithets is the term King James Only. Now, that's one of the smear terms that they use. It's a very all-inclusive, inaccurate, and it's undefined and therefore confusing term. There are at least three meanings of the term only when used in this phrase, King James Only. And I like to talk about this because when you say only, that means nothing else. That means forget the Hebrew words that underlie it or the few Aramaic words or the Greek words. Forget all those. All we have is the English. That is heresy. The English translation of the King James Bible, 1604 to 1611, is an excellent translation, but it is a translation. It is not the original. It's not the words that God gave to us. It's the words that man translated from the words that God gave to us and preserved for us. And it's accurate. It's the only one we use, but to say we only have that and that alone, this is wrong. So here's some definitions. What does only mean in this term, King James Only? Well, to see whether or not the term King James Only is properly used to label all of us who use and defend the King James Bible, we have to define the word only. So I go to Webster's Dictionary, I go to the American Heritage Dictionary, and have these various terms that define only. The Webster's New World Dictionary defines the adverb only as follows: and no, as no other, and no or nothing more. No other, and no or nothing more. Solely, exclusively. Drink water only, or merely simply. Using this definition of only, when talking about my book or any book, you would use no other, but would only use the book solely and exclusively. That's the first definition of only. And that's the smear term that they apply to me and to others in the Dean Burgess Society and others of our Bible for Today ministry. And this is false. It's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell as far as that is concerned. It's so erroneous. Because we have stood strongly, not only, not exclusively for the English, the translation. We believe that the Greek words that God gave to us are they're for us to learn and to know. And I'm not saying those that don't know the Greek language are of nothing, no effect. I'm simply saying we must not throw away the words that God gave to us. He wrote Hebrew words through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit and through the human writers in the Old Testament. A few Aramaic words. God wrote also in the New Testament Greek words. And the Lord Jesus gave those words to the Holy Spirit, who gave the words to the human writers, and they put them down. Those are God's inspired, God-breathed words. Those are God's inerrant words. And those words that have been inspired by God and inerrant words have been preserved by Him down through the centuries. And those very inspired, God-breathed words are the words that underlie our King James Bible. And to say that we only have the King James only and forget the words of the very God that gave them these words, these Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, is foolishness and folly. And that's what's implied with this King James only. That's granted that some of these people that use the King James Bible say that's only the thing they're going to use. Peter Ruckman and his group, and others that follow him, they're only King James, and that's all, the English. They don't want the French, the Spanish, the German, just the English. They don't want the Hebrew, the Aramaic, the Greek, just the English. And they say, I'm not putting down those that know only English. Please, do not get that misapprehension. Those who are preachers of the Word of God that know the English, but not these other languages, praise God for them. And I'm sure that none of them, at least in our camp, say we can throw away and trash the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words just because they have not learned them and do not know them. I would hope that they would not trash them or say we don't need them. They're the foundation of every translation on the face of the earth, or should be the foundation, proper Hebrew words, proper Aramaic words, proper Greek words, the foundation for the French, the Spanish, the German, the Russian. And if they're not on the right foundation, they should be changed. And they should be on that proper foundation. Not simply the English translation or the French translation or the Spanish or Russian or German or Chinese, but the foundational words underlying them. And so this term only, meaning exclusive. No other. No other. That's false. We do not have King James only, exclusively, none other. No Hebrew, no Aramaic, no Greek. That's false. Well, there's another definition of only, in this whole phrase, King James only. And that's found in the American Heritage Dictionary. The American Heritage Dictionary defines only as an adverb as follows: to the exclusion of any other possibility, exclusively, solely, uniquely, unquote. Now, using that definition of only, I'm talking about any book, you would use that one book to the exclusion of any other possibility. As in the preceding definition, you would use it exclusively and solely. That simply is not the case with your speaker and our Dean Burgess Society and our Bible for Today ministry and all the books that we've written. We do not exclusively use the English. We use the underlying Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words where necessary to expound the text, to give the meaning, to give the nuances, the flavor, and so on. The King James Bible translators have given us an excellent word. Every one of those words in the English translated from the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words has been accurately translated into English. But there are many other words that could be used. They used at least one that was accurate. And that's why expositors of the scriptures and preachers of the scriptures sometimes look underneath the English word in the King James Bible and see other meanings and other things to explain it and to give it a life and elaborate understanding of it. And this is what we do. It's not exclusively, and that's not what we believe, exclusively the English. All right, then here's various understandings of the King James only. There are three, at least, that I give here in this tract. And by the way, if you want to get this tract, simply ask for King James only. What does it mean? King James only. What does it mean? Write us at Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or simply ask for it on our email, bft@bibleforttoday.org. Or simply call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask for this King James only. What does it mean? Three meanings. Meaning number one, the King James Bible should be used only rather than reference to the underlying Hebrew and Greek texts. That's the first meaning. This view, and we don't agree with that, this view uses only in the literal sense of solely and exclusively. Those who fit into this meaning exalt the King James Bible so high that it is even superior to the Hebrew and Greek texts from which it was translated in 1611. This is the Ruckman position, Peter Ruckman's position, and those that follow him. They believe the King James Bible was not merely an accurate translation, but really a revelation from God to man, given by direct inspiration by God. God's breathing out the English words, resulting in English words, including the italics, that contain advanced revelation. Now, that's what the Ruckmanites teach, that the King James Bible has advanced revelation, and even those that hold this view believe that the King James Bible corrects its own Hebrew and Greek text from which it was taken. The correction. And this is pure heresy. And we cannot agree with this King James only in this sense at all, that it's revelation from God. Now, Dr. Peter Ruckman of Pensacola, Florida, and his followers often fit into this category. Since this view finds no support from the Bible, it must be considered as false and even heretical. Now, that's exactly what I believe it to be. And those people that try to tie us into this King James only name, like James White and the Bob Jones University books and other things that have been written, this is a terrible situation, and it's false indeed. We don't have only, exclusively, the King James Bible, and we don't believe it's advanced revelation. We don't believe it supersedes the Greek and Hebrew from which it was taken. Now, in this view, people must use King James only with no recourse to the original languages or any other language texts. This position is taken by those who falsely believe that the King James Bible was given by verbal inspiration by the Holy Spirit of God, including the italics, which in effect makes it a new revelation rather than merely an accurate translation. This position, the Dean Burgon Society and the Bible for Today firmly reject. This is made clear in our Dean Burgon Articles of Faith, for example. The Bible for Today also firmly rejects this position. My friends, let's listen to this position, see what it means. King James only. This is the smear. This is what they're saying. They imply that this is what we believe when we do not believe it. What this says is this. If indeed the King James Bible is God-breathed, is given by inspiration of God, and is the words given in Revelation in English, that means that God himself gave and breathed out the words of the Apocrypha. Why do I say that? Because the words of the Apocrypha were included in the King James Bible of 1611. And the Apocrypha was a part of the King James Bible for many years, not too many, maybe 30 or 40, 50 years, until they removed it. And if these people, the Ruckmanite people, and others who believe that the King James Bible was given by inspiration of God, God-breathed and a revelation, then they have to say that God is the author also of the Apocrypha, because that was part and parcel of the original 1611 King James Bible. This is heresy upon heresy. The 12 to 14 books that are there in the original 1611 King James Bible have many errors They have contradictions against the Bible itself. They were never written in original Hebrew or Aramaic or Greek. They're written in Latin, most of them, these apocryphal books. And they contain contradictions. They contain a justification for suicide and various other things that are sins contrary to the Word of God. And for those people, the Ruckmanite crowd and their followers who teach that the King James Bible was God-breathed, that it was given by inspiration of God, and that God gave the words of the English, including the italics, they're saying that God also gave the words of the Apocrypha, which are many words that are heretical indeed. And this is a serious flaw in this argument. And only means that, and we cannot agree with that, and you can see why, I'm sure. I cannot go along with the Apocrypha. It's an interesting translation as far as accuracy is concerned. I'm sure the King James translators accurately translated it, but we cannot agree that that's the way it should be. Well, what's meaning number two of this King James only, which we reject? Well, meaning number two, the King James Bible should be the only Bible in any language of the world. What? That's right. People hold to this. The King James Bible should be the only Bible in any language of the world, English, and namely only the King James Bible. That's the word only in the second meaning. This view also uses only in the literal sense of solely and exclusively. In this view, there should not be any translation into any other language other than the King James Bible and the English. There should be no translation into Russian, no translation into Spanish, no translation into French, no translation into Italian or Chinese or Japanese or any other language of the world. That's what this position holds. And we defy it, we decry it, we disagree with it. It's heresy, it's false. Now, this view was taught by Dr. Samuel Gipp. By the way, Samuel Gipp is one of the friends of Peter Ruckman of Pensacola, Florida. And Dr. Ruckman, I understand, sends Dr. Gipp out on meetings when he can't go. He sends Samuel Gipp. And this was taught by Samuel Gipp on the John Ankerberg telecast in the early fall of 1995. I have the transcripts before me, you know, that I have. I don't have them before me right now, but I have the transcripts of that entire telecast. Four or five or six different meetings it was, and I have the transcript of everything that was recorded on that occasion. I've written a book on it, and we call it Foes of the King James Bible Refuted. Foes of the King James Bible Refuted. BFE number 2777, I believe, is the number of it. If you're interested in getting it, we'll tell you how to get it. Give us a call, 1-800-JOHN-MANN. But on that particular telecast, Samuel Gipp, a Ruckmanite clone, you might say, a graduate, I understand, of the Pensacola school there of Ruckman. Don't confuse it with the Pensacola Christian College. That's a different school. His is the Pensacola Christian Bible Institute, I should say. But here's what Samuel Gipp said on that telecast. Someone asked him, one of the men that was on there, they had six men that stood for the false critical text of Westcott and Hort and Nestle Island and United Bible Societies and so on. Six men of them, three stood for the King James Bible, and one of them was Samuel Gipp. Now, one of the men of the critical text people asked Samuel Gipp, he says, well, what if a person is a Russian, for example? He stated that for a Russian, what are you going to do to know the Bible, to know the words of God? And Samuel Gipp stated, to get the truth of the Word of God, he would have to learn English and read it in the King James Bible. Now, that's what was answered on the telecast of the John Ankerberg Show. He's repeated that at least one time, if not two times. But that's the view. No other Bible but English. Is that what you believe, my friend? Don't give it in the Spanish language. Is that what you believe, my friend? Don't give it in the French. Don't give it in the Chinese language or the Japanese language. Is that what you believe? I don't believe it at all. But that's what he was saying. He would have to learn English. This is the Bible. Static ones as accurate. Quote. Show on the country language. What quote is this? 16. But manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. He's talking by the scriptures made known to all nations. It implies that all nations should have the scriptures in their own heart language, their own language that they were brought up with. That's what we seek to do and should seek to do. It's what is not being sought and not being done by the word translators, by the Bible societies all over the country and the world. They use the wrong Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words as a foundation. They use the wrong technique of translation. They use the wrong translators with the wrong ideas of how to do it. And therefore, they have wrong theology, wrong doctrine in these Bibles all over the world. But we should be able and be willing to translate the words of God from the proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words that underlie our King James Bible. Those are the words we're talking about. The Masoretic Hebrew text, the Textus Receptus Greek text, the very words underlying our King James Bible. That should be the basis of translation of the words of God all over the world. All right, what's meaning number three of the King James only? Meaning number three, the King James Bible should be the only English Bible used in the English-speaking churches or homes for ministry. Now, there's nothing wrong with the use of only in that sense. Use it in your preaching. Use it in your teaching. Use it in your homes. Use it in your readings. Use it in your churches, in the ministry. Only the King James Bible. We shouldn't go into a church and use the NIV, New International Version. We shouldn't go into a church and use the New King James Version. We shouldn't go into a church and use the American Standard Version of 1905 or whatever the date of it was, 1905. Or you shouldn't use the New American Standard Version or the Revised Standard Version or the New Revised Standard Version or the Living Version or some of these other, the Message or the English Standard Version. We should use our King James Bible. And preachers that preach from it and defend it, I take my hat off to them, I salute them. That's the meaning of only. Only for preaching. Only for teaching. Only in the homes, to read, for reading, for study. That's only all right. King James only in the sense of using it only in preaching and so on. But not only in the sense of no Hebrew, no Aramaic, no Greek that underlie it. Forget the underlying foundations. No, I don't believe in that. It's not only in the sense of only the English, no French or Spanish or any other language of the world. No. But for the English-speaking people, this should be our Bible. This should be what we preach from. This is what we should teach from. This is what we should read and study and know. Yes, if we want to underline, go underneath it and see some of the different meanings of the Greek or Hebrew or whatever, or the syntax or the grammars or whatever, fine. But use the King James Bible, and don't correct it publicly as people do constantly. They use it and they correct it. And they make the people of the Lord doubt the accuracy of our King James Bible. This is foolishness. We should never correct that which has been translated. We can say the meaning of the word is this and so on, but we don't correct what God has given to us in our King James Bible. This will make it difficult for any person who is a Christian difficult to have confidence in his Bible. That should never be done by preachers and pastors, yet it's done constantly, I'm sorry to say. Well, this view does not use only in the literal sense of solely and exclusively. This position is that though we can refer to the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words that underlie our King James Bible for further clarification and study, we use only the King James Bible in our preaching, memorization, public reading from the pulpit, Bible school literature, Bible school classes, Bible institutes, colleges, universities, and seminaries. And non-English speaking people can use accurate translations in their own language. That's all right, but for the English speaking people, it's the King James Bible. The following measures, of course, should be followed. Number one, the translation of the other languages should be from the same Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words that underlie our King James Bible. That should be the foundation of these other translations and others. Number two, they should be your translators, not people that don't know what they're talking about at all. Well, time's up for now. Let's see you in the next broadcast. We have to close now, but time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible, or call us 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite speaking, and we want you to know that we're going to continue, Lord willing, next week on this subject, very important subject, King James only. What does it mean? Be sure you can order it, free and postage paid. Just simply ask it. Ask us for it, King James only. What does it mean? A tract, BFT number 2840. Just ask for it. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you. Let's just simply send it out for you. Give us your name and address and so on. This is an important subject, my friends, because those on the other side, those in the critical text, those that use the Westcott and Hort text, those that use false versions, are writing books about us and trying to smear us with this term, King James only, thinking we don't have any respect for Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, thinking we don't have to want to translate our Bible in any other language but English, but we do stand for the King James only in the proper sense. See you next broadcast, same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for the Day of the Air, read each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for the Day Incorporated and the Dean Burkhan Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for the Day, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast of 1006. 1006 days, or weeks rather, of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burkhan Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For all other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email BFT@BibleForToday.org. Website is BibleForToday.org, where you can hear us 24/7 from Romans through Revelation, verse by verse, preaching from your speaker. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible, now in its 10th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then, if you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published for the Bible for today, uncommon words of the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe. Genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print, 53,000 are distributed all over the world and printed, and we want you to get your copy. Not another Bible in the world like it. Simply ask it, ask us for it, and one for your friends, the Defined King James Bible. All right, we're continuing this week the subject we began last week, King James only, what does it mean? This is a tract that we've written. We're going to write on other subjects to talk about other subjects as well, but this tract is free and postage paid. Simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9 and ask for this tract, King James only, what does it mean? We'll send it to you free and postage paid. All right, we're talking about the meanings of the King James only. We said, first of all, meaning number one, don't have anything to do with the underlying Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. Just only. King James only. Second definition of only. We said the people that believe that we should just have a translation of the Bible in the English language, the King James Bible. No translation of French or Spanish or German or other languages. Just the English. The third meaning is the one that we say is acceptable. In the English-speaking world, we should use only the King James Bible as far as our preaching and teaching and memorizing and using it in various other things. Other language systems should have their own translation in their own languages, but there are some provisions that ought to be made, some guards, some safeguards. Number one, they should be made from the same Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words that underlie our King James Bible, the proper foundation. Number two, they should be made by superior translators, number three, just like our King James Bible translators. Number three, they should use verbal equivalent translation techniques and formal equivalent translation techniques, not dynamic equivalency. Number four, they should have sound theology and doctrine. Now this is what we say, use in the English-speaking world the King James Bible, but for non-English-speaking people, make sure that the translations are accurate and correct. Now this is the position of the Dean Burkhan Society and of the Bible for Today. It's a defensible position, and one of which we should be proud and not ashamed. We urge our friends of the King James Bible not to cringe when hearing the epithet on the part of KJV enemies, King James only. Don't cringe. When it is used, we urge you to ask the question. What do you mean? How do you define the term only for me in the King James only? Would you define it, please? What's wrong with exalting the King James Bible to its supreme place in the English-speaking world? Nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with holding the King James Bible as the most accurate translation available in the English language today? Nothing wrong with that. What is wrong with believing that the King James Bible to be superior? That's what's wrong. What is wrong is believing the King James Bible is superior to the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words from which it was translated. That's the serious error. But we can't say it's superior and it corrects the Greek and Hebrew from which it was taken. But it has superior Hebrew texts and words, and it has superior translators, has superior technique of translation, has superior theology. Nothing wrong with saying that. What's wrong with considering as inferior the various modern versions of the Bible? We believe they are inferior, these other versions. They're inferior for many reasons. And certainly, we stand for our King James Bible and hold it high, but we do not take the position of the Peter Ruckman camp that says that it corrects the Hebrew and Greek from which it was taken, that it's God-breathed, and so on. We've taken that up in our last broadcast. Well, let's go on in this track. We discuss another topic. Dean Burgon used only the King James Bible in his day. He just used that only. He wasn't King James only in the false sense of the Ruckman position, but he used it only. In his recent book entitled The King James Only Controversy, James White made a number of false statements about the King James Bible and its underlying Hebrew and Greek words. On page 91 of the book, Mr. White listed Dean Burgon as one of the scholars of the first rank, and certainly he was. He said that Dean Burgon, F.H.A. Scrivener, and H.C. Hoskier were not King James or KJV only advocates. He stated that Dean Burgon saw the need for a revision in the KJV. Now, these are some of the statements that James White has made. Well, if you mean meaning number one or number two, as outlined above that we talked about, Dean Burgon certainly was not in those either positions, those Ruckman positions, King James only. However, he most definitely and assuredly was an advocate of meaning number three. That is, Dean Burgon used only the King James Bible in his preaching, his teaching, and various other things. And that was a strong meaning of the word only. He didn't use some new revision of his day. When the English Revised Version came out in 1881, he spoke out against it. He criticized it. He condemned it. He stood for his King James Bible without any question. Now, James White, in this book, King James Only Controversy, was in serious error concerning this. Dean Burgon never said that there was any need for changing the text of the King James Bible. You will not find this sentiment anywhere in his five books on textual matters. Our Dean Burgon Society has reprinted all five of these books. I've been the president of the Dean Burgon Society. I believe it's been 28 years now, 27 or 28 years since it was begun. And we've reprinted five of his books. The Last 12 Verses of Mark, The Revision Revised, The Traditional Text of the Holy Gospels, the causes of corruption of that traditional text, and then finally, manuscripts, Inspiration and Interpretation. That's the fifth book that we've reprinted as well. The Dean Burgon Society has reprinted that. And you'll not find anywhere in these statements, in many statements, you will find that agree with James White. They will not agree with James White. Anything that we found in his books or Dean Burgon's books, he will never agree with James White's characterization that he uses some other book. He was King James only in that sense that they didn't use the King James. This is, of course, false. You will find, however, many statements refuting that position. Dean Burgon held the King James Bible in the highest possible esteem. And to say that he was not a King James only advocate, well, he's not in the Ruckmanite type of King James only, that's true. But certainly, he used only the King James Bible in the sense number three that we've defined in this little tract. So So I'll take a few of Dean Burgon's quotes that you can see what Dean Burgon believed in regard to the King James Bible. Number one, Dean Burgon's admiration for the King James Bible. Here's what he wrote in Revision Revised, page 113. We've reproduced this book. We've reprinted it in our Dean Burgon Society. It's available. If you're interested in it, simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9 and ask us how we can get a hold of that book, Revision Revised. But on page 113, Dean Burgon wrote this, quote, "It may be confidently assumed that no revision of an authorized version, however judiciously executed, will ever occupy the place in public esteem which is actually enjoyed by the work of the translators of 1611, the noblest literary work in the Anglo-Saxon language." Does that sound like Dean Burgon's going to use some other version? And no, he used it only, the King James. He exalted it highly. Here's a second quotation from Dean Burgon. Now, Dean John William Burgon was the Dean of Chichester. He lived at the same time that Bishop Westcott and Professor Hort lived. He died in 1888. And as they say, he wrote these five books defending the King James Bible in all of them. The second quotation, Dean Burgon's admiration for the King James Bible translators. Not just the Bible, but the translators. Dean Burgon also wrote this, quote, this was from Revision Revised, page 196. Revision Revised, page 196. He said, "Verily, those men," that is these translators, "understood their craft. There were giants in those days. The Spirit of our God was mightily upon them." End of quote. He held in high esteem the Bible itself, King James Bible, the most noble literary masterpiece and work in the Anglo-Saxon language. He held in high esteem the translators of our King James Bible. They were giants in those days. The third quotation, Dean Burgon's admiration to the King James, adherence rather, to the King James Bible, even if there were a few revisions and a need of revision for it. If there were a revision, he still held to it. He wrote this, quote, "The method of such a performance," that is of any revision of the King James Bible, "whether by marginal notes or in some other way, we forbear to determine. But certainly, only as a handmaid, is it to be established and desired, as something intended to supersede our present English Bible, we are thoroughly convinced that the project of a revision or revival translation, is not to be entertained for a moment. For ourselves, we deprecate it entirely." That's Dean Burgon's Society, Dean Burgon's book, Revision Revised, page 114. But what is he saying here? He's saying if they finally fine-tune the Greek text that underlies the King James Bible, when they get all that finished, if they want to make some revision, whether by the marginal notes or some other way, as a rival translation, it's not to be entertained for a moment, he says. For ourselves, we deprecate it entirely. We are against it totally. And so, he certainly stands for our King James Bible. But he's not only in the sense of recommendism, but he's only using it only, like the third meaning that we've said. These quotes and many others make it crystal clear that Dean John William Burgon, would continue to use and support for the English-speaking people only the King James Bible. No matter what other revision of the Bible might come and during his lifetime, for other comments by Dean Burgon on the superiority of the King James Bible, the reader and those that are listening to us are referred to BFT number 804. It's available for a gift of $7 plus shipping and handling. It's entitled Dean Burgon's Prerequisites for Major Revision of the New Testament Greek Text Receptus and the English King James Bible. So these are things that you can get if you wish. It's by this writer. I wrote this. I'm a speaker too. I'm speaking to you. This study gives a series of quotations on this theme taken from Dean Burgon's excellent book, The Revision Revised, which is also available, BFT number 611. Now, when would he revise it? How would he revise it? He gives a series of things necessary for an accurate revision of the Greek text that underlies our King James Bible. New Testament text. By the time you finish the list of things that are required, Dean Bergen says, we can't find these people to do it in our day. Well, if he couldn't find it in his day of 1881 or 1885, how can we find it in our day? The proper people to do it, from the proper words. And so the Dean Bergen Society has simply taken a position, leave it as it is. Leave the text receptus, the words that underlie our King James Bible, as they are. Don't try to change them. Don't try to modify them. Just leave them alone. And what we've done in the Bible for Today ministry, as you know, your listeners have listened to us before, we have produced a defined King James Bible. My son, D.A. Waite Jr., has worked hundreds of hours on this Bible, and we have produced it. And it is available. 53,000 have been printed and published and distributed worldwide. You can get it. And we urge you to get it, because we keep the King James Bible exactly as it is, and the uncommon words are simply put in a footnote, the meaning, extensive meaning of them. Our son has put them in the footnote three or four times, sometimes different meanings of this uncommon word in the King James. We haven't changed the King James. We simply made it possible for people to understand words that are no longer prominent in our language. Well, as I said here, for more quotations on Dean Bergen's satisfaction with this King James Bible, you might want to get Dean Bergen's confidence in the King James Bible. Dean John William Bergen's confidence in the King James Bible. It's also by your speaker. It's available. It's called BFT number 2591. 36 pages in length, 2591. If you're interested in that, please call us or write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or simply call us 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Confidence in the King James Bible. 36 pages. And after reading these further statements by Dean Bergen, as he exalts the King James Bible and condemns the English Revised Version of 1881, there could be no doubt but that he used only the King James Bible for all of his preaching and study. He made constant reference to the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words underlying the King James Bible, but also believed in having accurate translations for non-English-speaking people, and that's exactly what he was pushing and was agreeing to if they wanted to do it. Well, these are some of the quotations from this tract that we've offered to you, King James Only. What does it mean? King James Only. What does it mean? Yours for the asking. Simply call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Request it, King James Only. What does it mean? The tract. All right, so much for that tract. I want to move on to another topic. Not another topic, but another paper. This paper is written by Michael Maynard. Michael Maynard has written this paper. It's a 12-page paper. He titles it, The Origin of the Term of Slander, KJV Only. The Origin of the Term of Slander, KJV Only. Here's what he says. In order to trace the origin of this term, and remember, King James Only, their meaning is throwing us into the Ruckman camp, the Peter Ruckman camp, which says that the King James Bible is not simply a translation, an accurate translation, but that it's a revelation, that God breathed it out, the very words, by inspiration, and this is heresy. And in fact, this is such a second separate revelation in 1611 that he says the King James Bible is advanced revelation and sometimes corrects the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words from which it was translated. We believe that's heretical. Let's take a look at what Michael Maynard has written. Now, he is a librarian. That's his background, studying of books. He's fluent in German. And he's written an excellent book on the 1 John 5, 7, and 8, the Johannine comma, as it's called, and it's done an excellent job in tracing that, showing that it's a valid part of our Bible, unlike the NIV crowd and the NASV crowd and others that say we ought to take away 1 John 5, parts of 7 and parts of 8. Here's Michael Maynard's paper. Let me simply read it to you and comment as we go along. In order to trace the origin of this term, KJV only, and he calls it a term of slander, by the way, to trace it and its derivatives, articles from Bob Ross, Doug Kudelik, and Gary R. Hudson were consulted. it would be useful to proceed chronologically. First, some groundwork is laid out. So he discussed this or talked about this with these men. They looked at their articles, Bob Ross, Doug Kudelik, Gary Hudson. Now, here's some of the groundwork. In 1970, Peter S. Ruckman published the Christian's Handbook of Manuscript Evidence, in which he included Chapter 8, Correcting the Greek with the English. Did you get that? Correcting the Greek with the English. That's one of the uses, the slanderous uses, the King James only, correcting the Greek and Hebrew and underlying text with the English language of the King James Bible. How can a thing that was made from something correct the source of where it was made from? See, that's why he believes that the King James Bible is a separate and additional special revelation from God, including the italics, given by direct inspiration, God's breathing out the words in English. Heretical. That's why he says, correcting the Greek with the English. 1970. Now, for the next 15 years, there seems to be no evidence that the adjective KJV only, now widely used to describe Ruckman's eccentric position of an inspired English translation, was in print to refer to Ruckman. It's not, for the next 15 years, wasn't used of Ruckman, as it is today and rightly today, but not to us. Can be used of Peter Ruckman and his followers, but not to us. It's a slander to refer to us. We don't agree with his position. It was said that G.B. Vicks also promoted the idea of a perfect, inspired English translation. So that's 1970. Try to get a historical background, the origin of the term of slander, KJV only. Right, in 1971, the New American Standard Version was on the market. This was the first time in the history of fundamentalism in which fundamentalists became divided among themselves due to a modern version controversy. Other modern versions contributed to the confusion, but the New American Standard Version caused much controversy. So here is a rival translation that's causing controversy. Then on November 3rd and 4th, 1978, the Articles of Faith, Operation, and Organization of the Dean Burgon Society were printed. That's the beginning of our Dean Burgon Society, 1978. And on page 3 of these articles, Dr. D.A. Waite wrote that they believe the authorized version of 1611 is the Word of God, while at the same time realizing that in some places we must go back to the original language text for complete clarity and also compare Scripture with Scripture. Articles of Faith, Dean Burgon Society, 1978, page 3. Now, apparently, the wording was designed to distance the Dean Burgon Society from the Ruckman position. That's why we say in some places go back to the original languages for clarity and to compare Scripture with Scripture. In other words, the Dean Burgon Society believed in using Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words underlying our King James Bible for clarity and for more explanation. Not that we're against the King James Bible, but we don't believe in the King James only, English only, not anything else underlying it. And he says, and rightly so, this was designed to distance the Dean Burgon Society from Ruckman's position. And we have distanced ourselves from that position. And the point of it is, people of the other side, the critical text position, like to use this smear term to imply, by the use of it, and putting our names along with Ruckman's name, implying that we agree with Ruckman and that we agree with that position, which is false. So that's 1978. Well, 1979, D.A. Carson, his book called King James Version Debate. The King James Version Debate was published. It advocated the New American Standard and the NIV as adequate versions, but nowhere in this book does the term KJV only appear. According to Bob Ross, Bob L. Ross, there's several Bob Rosses, the first time that he ever saw the term KJV only was in advertisements by churches which wanted to convey that they were opposed to modern versions, and to convey that they believe that the authorized version is the most accurate version, surpassing by far any of the modern versions. Here's what Bob L. Ross wrote. I first saw it in the certain church advertisements, he said, in some religious magazines. The line said, preaching the KJV only, or something similar. This is Bob Ross, Baptist Biblical Heritage, third quarter, 1995. So he thinks that that was what he had, just using the King James, preaching from the King James, only in that sense. But that's taken on a different meaning than just that. Then Michael Maynard quotes also Bob Ross as follows. The first I recall, it was in ads I saw for churches in the fundamentalist magazines. The description list would say fundamentalist, premillennial, missionary, KJV only. Of course, that meant using the King James only. That's a letter to Michael Maynard, August of 1996. That used only the King James Bible. But that wasn't the King James only position, that you can't have any other translation than English, or that you can't refer to any Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words as well. It was completely just that they used the King James in their preaching. Note that the usage is either as a direct object or as a predicate nominative, not yet as an adjective. Notice, it's not an adjective. He's a King James only man, not an adjective, but simply non-adjectival usage. It's simply a direct object. Now, the non-adjectival usage, presumably in the 1970s to 1980s, as testified by Bob L. Ross, the term was not derogatory to brethren. Not derogatory. Meaning we use only the King James. That's not a derogatory statement. It's not derogatory to the men who love and use the old. By this definition, then, it is safe to say that the editor of the Old Paths and Ancient Landmarks, Glenn Kondrzewski, could not be offended if he heard someone say King Kondrzewski is King James only, since this meant only at the time that he, just as other fundamentalists, premillennialists, missionary believers do, that he believes that the King James Version is the best. Now, what he's saying here, Michael Maynard is saying here, is very important. People that used the term in the early days, I use only the King James, that was not a epithet, a smear term, a name-calling term at all. It's changed into a name-calling term now. It's changed into a smear term now, but not in the early days. That's what he's saying. By this association, Kondrzewski is the man's name, Kondrzewski, Glenn Kondrzewski, could only take it as a compliment if this predicate adjective, KJV only, were used to describe himself. Let us allow Mr. Kondrzewski to speak for himself. March 1966, page 55, he says this, the King James Version so far exceeds every other version I am aware of that there's no doubt whatever that it is the best. End of quote. Now that's what they believe about the King James. It's the best. And that's what we believe. In fact, David Cloud, E.F. Hills, and D.A. Wade also believe the King James Version is the best. As Kondrzewski says, they never claimed perfection for the old version, nor did they ever side with Ruckman. Now, that's what people have to see. We have never sided with the Ruckman position, yet they use today the epithet to smash us and to smear us and to make us equal to the Ruckman position, which is wrong. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for today, Collinswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible. Get your free tract, King James Only, What Does It Mean? 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. My friend, we're going to continue this excellent historical picture of the King James Bible, the term of slander, the origin of the term of slander, KJV only. We're on page 3 of it by Michael Maynard. He's a historian. He's looked into this. He's done an excellent job. I want you to see it with us. We're going to continue this thing. It's an important topic to understand the smear term of King James Version only, and to understand that we do not accept it as a proper term to say that we prefer and we use only the King James Bible, but it's a smear term adjusting us and compacting us and associating us with Dr. Peter Ruckman, who's a heretic on this position. See you next broadcast, same time, same station. Until then, so long. We're talking about this King James only. It's an epithet. It's a name-calling device by those people that are Westcott and Hort-oriented, critical text-oriented, that hate and despise the Textus Receptus, that hate the King James Bible. They smear us all and call us King James only. And I protest. I protest. That's an epithet that does apply to the far-out right-wing extremists, if I say, on the King James fringe, founded and led by Dr. Peter Ruckman of Pensacola, Florida. He is a right-wing extremist, if I've ever heard one, as far as the King James only and the King James Bible is concerned. He's an extremist. He's a heretic as far as the Bible is concerned. He is King James only, and he thinks that the King James Bible is not simply a translation, which it is, the most accurate one we have in the English language to date. It's the only thing we use, the only thing we should use. But he says it's not only a translation. He says, like a heretic would say, it's a revelation. It's a revelation by God the Holy Spirit. That's the blasphemy of it. That it's word for word given, even the italic type. The Holy Spirit gave those words. It's a new revelation. Therefore, why do you need the Hebrew text? Why do you need the Greek and the Aramaic words? This is a brand new revelation, according to heretic Peter Ruckman and his followers. Now, we protest against that. That is false, as we said last broadcast. If he thinks that God Almighty breathed out the words of the King James Bible in English, he also believes that God Almighty breathed out the words of the Apocrypha, which was in the original 1611. And the Apocrypha, 12 to 14 books between the Old Testament and the New Testament and the 1611 authorized version, that is filled with error, filled with apostasy, filled with heresy, filled with contradictions to the words and the scriptures and the books of our Bible. So that's a heretical view. We're against it. We've been against it all of our days, ever since we heard about the Ruckman position. If you're not familiar with it, you ought to get familiar with it. And this little tract, King James Only, What Does It Mean?, will inform you as to the heresy of the Peter Ruckman position. Now, if Peter Ruckman has King James Only, in other words, he doesn't want anything to do with the Hebrew or Greek that underlies it, or the Aramaic. He just wants the King James. And then his counterpart, his pupil, Gip. He believes also that, along with Ruckman apparently, Samuel Gip believes that we should only have the English and not any translations in the Greek or the Hebrew, Russian or German or English or rather Italian or French or whatever. No other language, Chinese, Japanese, you name it, just the English. So that's his definition, King James only. That's all. If it was asked on the show, that television show I mentioned before, the John Ankerberg telecast, back in 1995 or thereabouts, he was asked by one of the King James Bible opponents on this telecast, Samuel Gip, was asked, what if you were a Russian? I believe it was from Dan Wallace of Dallas Theological Seminary, my school, my alma mater, as they say. He was asked by Dan Wallace, what if a Russian wanted to find the Word of God? What would he have to do? Well, Gip says he'd have to learn English and study the King James Bible. In other words, Gip and Ruckman, his teacher, apparently, are for the English Bible, period. And that's what they want to have all over the world. No French, no Spanish, no Chinese, no Japanese. That's what they mean by only. King James only. The only Bible in the world. My friends, that's heresy. God wants his words from the proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek original foundational words translated accurately by proper translators into every language of the world. And that is yet to be done and is not being done by the United Bible Societies, by Wycliffe Bible Translators, because they have the wrong nation, the wrong technique of translation, and hence the wrong theology. Apostasy reigns in these versions that are not based upon the proper original Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic words. And so he says just English only. That's his only. Peter Ruckman says only because why do you need a Hebrew or Aramaic or Greek words? Why do you need the preservation of those words when you have the English, which he says is a special revelation, an additional revelation that even can correct the original Hebrew and Greek from which it was taken. Well, these are heresies. Samuel Gip, Peter Ruckman, King James only? Yes. They qualify for the only, which means exclusively, and that's it. But we do not qualify for that epithet. Here at the Bible for Today and our Dean Bergen Society and many of our friends and followers do not qualify for this smear term that's used against us. They lop us in with the Whitman heretics and the Gip heretics and say we are like they are. And we're not like they are. We're different. We believe in the preservation of the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words that God gave to us in the original languages, original texts. And we believe those preserved words are the very words King James Bible. And we use the King James, that's right. And that's the only thing we ought to use. But we also can go underneath the King James and look at the Hebrew words, look at the pictures of the language, look at the Aramaic, look at the Greek pictured language, and find things that are there that God wants us to have. In addition to our King James Bible, we don't supplant it. This is our English book. We say the King James Bible is God's words kept intact in English. But we still believe we can go underneath it and have the Hebrew and Greek, and that's not what the King James only people really believe. And so we're divorcing ourselves from that epithet, from that smear term, from that name-calling by the opponents of our King James Bible. We're not going to be packed up in a little bundle with the Ruckmanites and be thrown into the water and into the river. We're not that type of people. And now we're going on, not only that King James only, what does it mean? Get the tract free and postpaid. Call us, Bible for Today, or write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or pick up your phone and get the toll-free call, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Now we've been starting also in this whole idea of the King James only. We're going to be taking up this for several weeks. I don't know how many weeks. We took up this paper by Michael Maynard, who's a librarian. He's a Christian man. We've met him. We know him. The paper that he wrote is called The Origin of the Term of Slander, KJV Only. The Origin of the Term of Slander, KJV Only. Michael Maynard has it right. When they slander us with the King James only title, when we don't believe like the Ruckmanites, that is a slander. It's lying against us. And this paper we're reading to you, we're now over here on page number 3. Page number 3 of 12 pages of Michael Maynard's History, Origin of the King James Only. He goes on page 3 and he says, now Dr. David Cloud, E.F. Hills, and D.A. Waite also believe the King James Version is the best. As Kondrzewski says, this man that they're quoting, Glenn Kondrzewski, they never claimed perfection for the old version, that is the King James Bible, nor did they ever side with Ruckman. End of quote. But friends, if we never sided with Ruckman, if we never claimed perfection or inspiration or God's breathing out the King James Bible, never sided with Ruckman, why are we striped and painted with this smear term of King James only, which means only the English, no translation in any other language, only the English as a special revelation, separate from the Hebrew and Greek from which it came, and even the italics, a special revelation rather than a translation. We're not Ruckmanite heretics, and yet we're called King James only just like they are. They're slicing it in together, smashing it in together, in order to damage us, to slander us. That's a good term for Michael Maynard. It's a slander. Falsely saying things that are not true. Let me go on. Michael Maynard says, evidently, all throughout the life of Hills, who died in 1981, no one lumped him with Ruckman. Now get that. No one lumped him with Ruckman. Why are they all of a sudden lumping us with a Ruckman picture with a King James only business? Let me continue. That situation changed 9 years after Hills died. He died in 1981. In 1989, James Arnold Price, now he's the man from Tennessee Temple. I debated him he was with Dr. Custer at the time, and I was with Dr. Curello. The four of us were debating. In the 1980s, they're in the Chicago area, and Price and Custer took the critical text on Nestle Island. We took the Texas Receptus that underlies our King James Bible, and we debated them. So here's the situation changes in 1989. James Arnold Price, worked on his dissertation with a title in which the term KJV only is no longer used alone as a predicate nominative, but also as an adjective modifying a noun. Now notice, the title of J.A. Price's dissertation is The King James Only Controversy in American Fundamentalism Since 1950. The King James Only Controversy. Now that's an adjective. King James Only modifies controversy instead of as a predicate nominative. When you say we use the King James Only, we use the King James Only. That's a type of a noun, sort of. It's the object of the sentence. We use the King James Bible only. We only use the King James Bible. But this one here is now an adjective modifying a noun, the King James Only Controversy. That's probably where James White got his title of his book, which is similar. Since 1950. Here's what James Price has to say. He submitted this in May 1990. By the way, he's just written a new book, which I should get and answer on the broadcast. One of these days I will do so, Lord willing. He submitted this in May of 1990 to Temple Baptist Theological Seminary. That's Tennessee Temple. This so-called Ph.D. dissertation is characterized by shallowness throughout. Further, it is quite unspiritual. Consider that he slanders J.J. Ray without due cause. And by the way, probably this Price dissertation is now the book that he's written, and probably the basis of that book that he's come out now with is probably his doctoral dissertation. Came out in 1950. Could be. Probably largely is. So he slanders J.J. Ray. Now, Jasper James Ray is a man that stood for the Textus Receptus, the Greek text underlying our New Testament in the Greek. He stood for the King James Bible. And this man, Price, slanders him, says lies about him. Let me continue. It does not matter to Price that Ray never believed the KJV is perfect. That is inerrant and infallible. In other words, I don't think there's any translational errors, but to say it is infallible, inerrant, or perfect as God is, that's a different situation. I don't think that's imperfect. I don't like to use the word perfect. And this man, J.J. Ray, never said it was perfect or inerrant or infallible in that way. He doesn't say it's fallible, but those words are used for God's words. God is the one that's perfect. As for God, His way is perfect. We are sinners. We are depraved, every one of us, whether we're saved or lost. We have failings and fallible errors. And so, then in fact, Ray said, therefore, there are a few mistranslations of the King James English. That's under God Wrote Only One Bible, page 102. Well, I don't agree with J.J. Ray on that score. I don't think there are mistranslations of the King James English. I think that every translation, they've at least picked one of the words that could be picked, used one of the grammatical sentences and sections and rules that could be used. I differ with J.J. Ray on that one, and that's why we're reading this, so to analyze what we believe, what we don't believe. James A. Price still called Ray a heretic. Why? Let us see how he arrived at this. Now, here's how he's going to write. Now, by the way, J.J. Ray, is said by these people on the other side, these people are the critical text people, the Westcott and Hort people, that deny the Textus Receptus and the King James Bible. These men used J.J. Ray and said he was the source. He was the source for Dr. David Otis Fuller. He's the source of the rest of us, and so on. Therefore, if they can attack J.J. Ray, they can attack everyone else that follows the Textus Receptus and the King James Bible. In fact, they say that J.J. Ray and Dr. Fuller and others got their material from a Seventh-day Adventist. This is another thing. Wilkerson, Benjamin Wilkerson, they say they got the friend, he's Seventh-day Adventist, as if there's some sort of a Seventh-day Adventist heresy in believing the Textus Receptus and the King James Bible, which is false also. Well, let me continue. Let's see how James Price calls Jasper James Ray a heretic. Of course, he's with the Lord now, James Ray is. Ray and those who have followed him have often been regarded as well-intentioned brothers in Christ who should be treated kindly or just ignored. The idea seems to have been that although they are wrong, they really are not hurting anyone. After all, they do believe the Bible. This approach is grossly incorrect. Ray is a heretic who must be rebuked for what he is. This is, now notice, these words Ray and those who follow it, these are words quoting exactly from James Price. These are James Price's words. They're well-intentioned brothers. They're just ignored. But they have been, although that may be, they're wrong, they really are not hurting anyone. After all, they do believe the Bible. This is what Price says about this approach. This approach is grossly incorrect. Ray is a heretic who must be rebuked for what he is. James Price, 1990, TBS, which stands for Temple Baptist Theological Seminary, dissertation, page 85. Now, when he uses the word heretic, that's what many of these critical text people use in terming those of us who stand for the King James Bible. They say we're heretics. The book of Titus says after they that are heretics, after the first and second admonition, reject. The Bob Jones University-led organization, the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship, recently came out with a resolution. I'll get it in a minute. This resolution had to do with fundamentalist brothers, people that were brothers or brethren, in quotation marks, as if we're not even saved. And they said about these people, we've talked about that on the broadcast before, they said about these people who stand for the King James Bible, and they claim that we slander them. No, we don't slander them. Slander means to speak something false about someone and do them damage because of it. We speak the truth. We quote from them. And then they say those are slanders, and unless they repent, these King James Bible people, unless they repent, we should treat them, as the Bible says, about heretics or divisive persons, as they translate it from some of these other versions. And so, but heretic does not mean someone who stands for the King James Bible. It doesn't mean someone who stands for the received words of God underneath the King James Bible, the received text, text receptus. Heretic from hareo is someone that holds a doctrine contrary to the words of God, contrary to Scripture. I call Peter Ruckman a heretic. I call Samuel Gipp a heretic. And I call them a heretic because they say, contrary to Scripture, where it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Pasakara faith, anastas, all Scripture is God-breathed. And when they say that a translation of the Scripture is God-breathed, that is heresy because it goes contrary to the very bulwarks and foundation of our faith. But to say a man is a heretic because he stands for the Textus Receptus and the King James Bible is not proper at all. Misuse of the word heretic. Let me continue. Michael Maynard goes on. We're on page number 4 now. We're reading from Michael Maynard's paper, The Origin of King James Only. What then was his reasoning, that is, this man Price's reasoning, for slandering Ray as a heretic? There was no reasoning. It was an emotional statement. Nor does it matter to Price that E.F. Hills never claimed the authorized version as perfect, inspired, or inerrant version. He also slanders Hills and his position of the King James Only view of Edward Hills. That's one of the things he takes up in his dissertation. Now, let me just pause here. I repeat again. I don't use the terms inspired or God-breathed for our King James translation. I don't use the terms inerrant or infallible. I don't say they're fallible. I don't say it's errant and erring. I believe that it doesn't have any translational mistakes. I think it's translated at least one proper Hebrew or Aramaic or Greek word put into English using one of the proper grammatical rules. And I believe that, but I don't like to use these words that are for God's word. I believe the words that he gave to us in Hebrew, in Aramaic, and in Greek, I believe those are perfect. Those are God-breathed words. Those are inerrant words, infallible words. And I like to keep it that way and not mix it with translations. As you know, though I don't hold that there's any mistakes, translational mistakes in the King James Bible, as you know, the people that translated it and printed it and published it had all sorts of errors and mistakes in the printing. And we had the He Bible, the She Bible. We had the Sinner's Bible, where one of the misprints said, thou shalt commit adultery, instead of thou shalt not commit adultery. So people are fallible. God is perfect. God is infallible. God is inerrant. He makes no mistakes. These are just illustrations. But as I say, don't get me wrong. I do not believe that we have in our King James Bible fallibility or errancy. I don't say, on the other hand, don't like to use the word inerrant or infallible. That's my position. I believe that there are no translational mistakes, but I don't like to use these words I use them for God's words and God's indeed. So he says, Edward Hills does not use these words, and yet he slanders Dr. Hills. That is this man, James Price, in his doctoral dissertation, 1990. Finally, in section 4, he attacks the position of Peter Ruckman. Thus, it appears that 1990 is the earliest that anyone tried to associate Hills and Ray with the eccentric position of Ruckman. The strategy of James Price involved the new use of KJV only as an adjective and guilt by association. Now, he rightfully calls Peter Ruckman a heretic and has his position, and I'm sure he puts it in proper perspective. We might agree with it. I don't know. I haven't read it. Might agree with it. Who knows? But to say that James J. Ray is a heretic, to say that this other man, Dr. Hills, Ph.D. from one of the Ivy League colleges, I think it's Yale University, in textual criticism, a man who's a scholarly man, who's written the King James Bible Defended. That's the title of his book. And we carry that book in our bookstore here at the Bible for Today Baptist Church and Bible for Today Ministry. Let's go on with Michael Maynard's work. He says, now in the fall of 1990, an issue of Baptist Biblical Heritage came out whose editor was Gary R. Hudson. And contributing editor is Doug Kudelik. We note on page 8 an advertisement for gift offers. Included in this list is a tract with the title and authors listed as this, Questions for the KJV Cult by Hudson and McHugh. It's a tract. 2 copies, $1. Let me pause right here. Who is Gary Hudson? Gary Hudson is a man who despises Ruckmanism. So do we. But Gary Hudson is also a man that despises our King James Bible and the Dean Bergen Society and the Bible for Today and your speaker. That's his privilege. He can despise anybody, anything he wants. He's torn in and ripped to shreds a lot of the things. He's an angry young man. We took him and paid for his room and board, in fact, at the Dean Bergen Society meeting several years back. And then as soon as he came to the meeting, he spoke against the Ruckman position and then tore us apart. And from then till now, he's been an enemy of our Dean Bergen Society and of yours truly. But his contributing editor, Doug Kudelik, he despises the text receptors, despises the King James Bible. He's a hatchet man indeed, writes very vicious articles against those of us who stand for our King James Bible. And so the gift offers, Questions for the KJV Cult by Hudson and McHugh. We've had correspondence with McHugh as well. And so he's with the Hudson position. Let me continue. Michael Maynard says, it's significant that of this 8-page issue in this tract, Questions for the KJV Cult, only over 2 pages are devoted to debate follow-up that lists details of the Hudson-Ruckman debate of July 1990. Hudson, in this article, spoke of the vindictive and caustic manner, page 2, column 3, of Ruckman's article in Bible Believers Bulletin of September 1990. Apparently, to retaliate, Hudson and McHugh, his name is Chris, by the way, Chris McHugh, I don't know how to remember it, but I do, chose the term KJV cult in the title of this above-mentioned tract. Because of the exposure of Wilkinson's plagiarism and the exposure of Ruckman's errors, the terms KJV cult and the term KJV only now became clearly derogatory and offensive to any who believed the authorized version was superior. And we certainly believe it's superior. So this is an interesting thing. Michael Maynard is giving a history of the development. By the way, when Gary Hudson talks about the debate that he had with Peter Ruckman, Peter Ruckman, although he's not a friend of mine, I'm not a friend of his, he sent me a copy of that videotape. I just want to say, Ruckman mopped up the floor with Gary Hudson as far as his expertise on the King James Bible, on the Greek text, and various other things. And Gary Hudson was angry about it, I guess, because he lost strongly that debate. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he should be saved and should win enough and find pasture. Latest. Bible for today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Across on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and Defending the Defined King James Bible and for the free tract, King James Only. What does it mean? Write us or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. My friends, we're going to continue this next week, Lord willing. We're on page 4 of Michael Maynard's excellent paper on the origin of King James Only. We're on page 4 of 16 pages, so we're going to carry it on next week. We believe this is very important for all of us who love the King James Bible, who stand for the Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew words that underlie it, and we don't want to be slandered by the term King James Only, which is a Ruckman slander term for Peter Ruckman's views, and we don't hold those views at all. So stay tuned to us and listen up, and we hope it'll be a blessing and educational for you. So long till next broadcast, same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today over the air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast on 1008. 1008 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of the traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the received traditional Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@BibleForToday.org. Our website is BibleForToday.org, where you can hear 24/7 verse-by-verse preaching, Romans through Revelation, from your speaker. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible. Now in its 10th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition, why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then if you order your Defined King James Bible, published for the Bible for Today, uncommon words are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe. Genuine leather, special 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. 53,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friends? The Defined King James Bible. All right, we've offered free and postage paid these last couple broadcasts. This tract that I wrote years ago, King James Only, What Does It Mean? King James Only, What Does It Mean? BFT number 2840, yours for the asking, free and postpaid. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on the order line, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll send it to you, and hope that you can read it. We outline here the Ruckman position, Peter Ruckman's position in Pensacola, Florida, which is a false position, a heretical position, saying that the King James Bible is not simply the only accurate translation, but a revelation by God the Holy Spirit. God's breathing out the words in English, special revelation, in 1611, that supersedes the Hebrew and the Greek that preceded it. Heresy, indeed. Also, it talks about Samuel Gipp's heretical position, saying that we only have the King James Only, the only text we have is an English text. Only the King James, no Spanish or French or German. That's heretical. We explain that. But to say that we use only the King James Bible, that's what we're talking about. That's fine to use it only. But to say King James only, in other words, no Hebrew, no Greek, and no other English, no other translation, I should say, in any other language, this is heresy. And this is the slanderous term, as Michael Maynard has mentioned it, the origin of the King James Only, the term of slander. The term of slander. These people know that Ruckman's position is wacko, as we say in the trade. It's crazy. It's wicked. It's corrupt. It's argumentative. It's wrong. It's heretical. All these adjectives apply. And since we know that the Ruckman position is wrong and dead wrong in what they believe and how they believe it, to use King James only when it rightly applies to the Ruckmanites, to use it against us who divorce ourselves from that position, is slanderous. And slander is what they like to do. We talk about James Price. We talk about this man, Gary Hudson. We talk about these other people in the critical text position. They use this term to smear us. Those at Bob Jones University use it many times in their writings. King James only. James White uses it. We have a number of these people that use this term, and it's pejorative, and it's not wonderful. It's not a blessing at all. We stopped at the bottom of page 4 of the last broadcast. We're talking about the two pages of the devoting of the questions for the KJV cult by Hudson and McHugh. And this tract that they got out in 1990 was, got this tract out, and they label different ones as a vindictive, in a vindictive and caustic manner. They label people like Dr. Hills and J.J. Ray and others. And this is retaliatory, to retaliate. And, of course, Gary Hudson talks about the debate that he had with Peter Ruckman. As I said last broadcast, though I don't agree with Ruckman on many things, he certainly can handle himself as far as in a debate is concerned. And he was excellent. He sent me a copy, a video copy, in fact, Ruckman did, in regard to what he did with this little boy, Gary Hudson. And he's just a short little man, and he's a young man, younger certainly than I am. And so he sort of retaliated in this KJV cult tract because of the debate that he had with Peter Ruckman. So now, in 1990, this KJV cult becomes a term of derogatory nature and offensive to any who believe the King James Version was superior. So that's where we came up to last broadcast. Now, take it up from that. We're on page 5 of Michael Maynard's paper, 16-page paper, called The Origin of the Term of Slander, King James Version only. He says it seemed that James Price fanned the flames sufficiently so that now Gary Hudson followed the pattern of Price, James Price, writing his dissertation, doctoral dissertation, Ph.D. dissertation, in Temple University or Temple Theological Seminary, 1990, fanned the flames so that now Gary Hudson followed the pattern of Price and began using KJV only as an adjective. On page 2, in the very next issue of Baptist Biblical Heritage, this is another paper that came out of a magazine, the winter of 1990 and 1991, Gary Hudson used the term as an adjective. The KJV-only establishment. See, so it's an adjective, and it's prerogative. It's a pejorative term, I should say. It doesn't have any prerogatives. KJV-only establishment as an adjective. The clue that Hudson was influenced by James Price to use the term now as an adjective and as a term of reproach is found in the editorial by Hudson, Gary Hudson, where he specifically cited the above dissertation of Price. Gary Hudson writes, Dr. Price did a masterful dissertation on this important issue. That's the Biblical Heritage, page 2. Note also an advertisement on page 7 of this winter issue of Baptist Biblical Heritage listed as follows. Here's a new video, the King James Only Controversy. This is a new video. Now, these 2 one-hour programs are by Gary Hudson with Bob L. Ross, and Jay Boyette. So here we have videos coming out in the King James Only Controversy, 1990-1991, announcing this, and so the thing is heating up since then. Let me continue. Michael Maynard goes on. He's a historian. He's a Christian. I know him. I've met him. In 1990, Gary R. Hudson was a guest speaker at the Dean Burgon Society. In the space of a little over 1 year, Hudson's position changed from Ruckmanite to a TR, Texas Receptus Advocate, to Majority Text Advocate, to the National United Bible Society Text Advocate. Now, this is talking about a travel and change of position. He was a Ruckmanite, He joined the Dean Bergen Society, which is anti-Ruckmanite. It takes a sound, sane, and sensible position on the King James Bible. And then he left that in a short space of less than a year, a little over a year, and went to the majority text. From the Textus Receptus to the majority text that changes the Textus Receptus in about 1,800 places, to the Nestle United Bible Society text, the critical text. Talk about a transformation. Is he a chameleon? Was he a plant? Did he never believe this? Was he always a Westcott and Hort critical text man? Who knows? Let me continue. And by the way, this Dean Bergen Society, I invited him to come. I invited him as a speaker. My wife and I put him up for the night, he and his wife. And he was going to go home. I said, no, stay if you like. And he did. And we paid for it. I don't know what the price was, but anyway, we took care of it. And he came after that meeting and ripped us to shreds. A strange cutthroat operation. Sneaky operation, if you ask me. And you're not, I know that. But that's what I believe it was. Let me continue. Michael Maynard says this. In a form letter to members of the Majority Text Society, dated November 29, 1990, Wilbur Pickering welcomed Gary Hudson into the Majority Text Society. Now, notice this. 1990. He came to the Dean Bergen Society, joined it, claimed he lied. I would imagine he lied because he changed his position shortly thereafter. He lied and stated in that joining of our Dean Bergen Society that he stood for the Textus Receptus that underlies the King James Bible. In that same year, in a letter, form letter, November 29th, 1990, he came to the Dean Bergen Society in probably the month of July, June or July of 1990, and then November, a few months later, Wilbur Pickering, the head of the Majority Text Society, welcomed Gary Hudson into the Majority Text Society family. Now, the Majority Text Society changes the Textus Receptus, as I say, in about 1,800 places in the New Testament, in the Greek text. Wilbur Pickering is for the West, for the not Westcott and Hort. Now, that changes it in 8,000 places, as Dr. Jack Mormon has indicated in his new book, 8,000 Differences, which is available, by the way. If you're interested in that book, it's a tremendously scholarly book, Matthew through Revelation. Every place where the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible is changed by the critical text of Nestle Aulam that underlies these modern versions. 8,000 places. You say, oh, they're not very different. They're not very different. 8,000 certainly is different. You say, well, do they always change the translation? No, not necessarily. Some of these Greek words can be the different word, but the translation in English is the same. But many places, it's not the same. But the main thing is, it does change the Greek words, and that's the important thing. So now he's joined, not the Dean Bergen Society, but he flipped over there and joined the Majority Text Society. Let me continue. Michael Maynard goes on. We're on page number 5 now of his 12-page paper, entitled The Origin of the Term of Slander, KJV only. The Term of Slander. I like that. Don't like the name, but I like this title. It goes on. In 1992, D.A. Waite, that's your speaker, published his Defending the King James Bible. Within its 307 pages, he never claimed the King James Version was inspired, perfect, or inerrant. Rather, he placed the emphasis on the original Greek and Hebrew texts and said that they were inerrant, inspired, and infallible. Page 246. Well, that's correct. I've divorced myself from the Bruckman position in that book, Defending the King James Bible, in every other article and book and booklet and tract and sermon and tape and video that I've made in all these years when we've waked up, when we have been awakened by the Lord to this controversy. In the early 1970s. The 1970s on to the this year of 2007, it's a matter of 30-some years, 36, 37 years now. I've been awake to this. But I've never said that perfection does not lie in the translation, though it's not with errors. The perfection lies in the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words that God gave us, not what man translated, but what God gave us. I've said before, just because I don't use these large terms, these accurate terms, inerrant and infallible, of the King James Bible or any translation, I don't say that they're fallible. I don't say they're errant. I just don't like to use those highfalutin terms for man's work, but I do it for God's work. Let me continue. Michael Maynard says this. In an undated tract, about 1992, by Doug Kudelik, called The Unlearned Men, The True Genealogy and Genesis of King James Version Onlyism. He claims the movement originated with Benjamin Wilkinson. Now, he's the Seventh-day Adventist that tried to smear all of us with, saying that we got all this information from Benjamin Wilkinson. Now, though he was a Seventh-day Adventist, he was fighting in his own denomination the battle for the Bible. Those men in the Seventh-day Adventist movement were using the critical text. I don't agree with this theology, Seventh-day Adventist heresy. I don't agree with that. But I do agree that Benjamin Wilkinson, a learned man, wrote a book, and the Authorized Version vindicated, standing for the King James Bible and the Greek text that underlies it. And that's a tremendous writing, and he did not refer and allude to the heresy of his own denomination. He did not put that in there in order to muddy the waters. He stuck to the subject. Our King James Version, or Authorized Version, vindicated. That's the title of it. We carry it here in our Bible for Today ministry. Not because we agree with Seventh-day Adventism, but because we agree with his approach, and his defense. A masterful defense. Marshaling documentation and quotations from others concerning that. That's why we have it. But he says, he goes ahead and claims the movement originated with Benjamin Wilkinson. Well, it originated, my friend, with the Bible. With the verse of the Bible. And continue with J.J. Ray, Edward F. Hills, David Otis Fuller, whom he unfairly lumps with Ruckman, and Ripplinger. Now, these things are quotations. The unlearned men, he says, Wilkinson and Ray, just because these men stand for the King James Bible. Dr. Hills is a Presbyterian. He's written this book, as I said before, King James The Bible Defended, King James Version Defended. We carry it. Jasper James Rowe, God Wrote Only One Bible. We carry that. These are books that are helpful books. Dr. David Otis Fuller, we carry three of his books. Which Bible? True or False? Counterfeit or Genuine? He was the editor of all three of these books. He's done a wonderful job. He was one of our vice presidents of our Dean Bergen Society, one of the founding vice presidents. We appreciate his work. He's with the Lord now. And stood strongly, whom he unfairly lumps with Ruckman and Ripplinger. I don't know whether Ripplinger is one of these people that continue with these people. I guess it does. Mrs. Ripplinger is a part of that. Now, I would say this. Mrs. Ripplinger, although we know her, she's a very bright lady and so on, does a good job in many of the analyses of the New King James and various other charts and graphs, little tracts and booklets. She's written many books, large books and so on. She does advertise books by Peter Ruckman in her catalog. We do not. So there's somewhat of a leaning there, Mrs. Ruppinger, toward Peter Ruckman. We have no leanings. We're opposing him at every step of the way, every turn of the way, and every turn of the corner. Now notice, however, in this tract, this by Doug Kudelik, he failed to cite any writings of these four deceased men to prove that they ever used the term KJV only in their writings. These four deceased men, Benjamin Wilkinson, Jasper James Ray, Edward F. Hills, David Otis Fuller. Not a single citation of these four men to prove that they ever used the term KJV only in their writings. Then he blasts away and says that the King James Version only people, which means they're Ruckmanites. And they're not Ruckmanites. They may have some things that may be similar, but they're not Ruckmanites. Certainly the Presbyterian, Edward F. Hills is no Ruckmanite. He's a Presbyterian. In fact, he's a five-point Calvinist. And, of course, I'm not a five-point Calvinist, as some of you may know or not know. But he's not the Ruckman position type at all. Not even a Baptist, as Ruckman is and has been. We continue. Michael Maynard continues in this paper, The Origin of the King James Only and the Term of Slander. He says on page 6, it is unlikely that they have ever heard the derogatory use of the term in their lifetime since all died prior to 1988. That's interesting. All these four men that this man Kudelik says are the foundation of the King James Only never heard the term because they died before it was ever brought out. Benjamin Wilkinson, J.J. Ray, Edward Hills, and Dr. David Otis Fuller. They died, all of them, prior to 1988. Didn't come out till 1990, the firm itself. It's noteworthy that the name-calling intensified after these men passed away. The name-calling. When they could no longer defend themselves. And interesting, isn't it? Well, listen, my friends. I have not yet passed away as this tape is being recorded. I may pass away before it's published and before it's on the radio and before it's on the internet, but I have not passed away yet. And I can respond to these lies, to these slanders by Kudelek and Gary Hudson and James Price and others. I can respond. I have been responding. I praise God for the opportunity of this radio ministry that I can do this wherever it goes out and on the internet, whenever it's broadcast in that fashion as well. We have to respond to these falsehoods, these lies that are rampant in our country. Let me continue. Page 6, Michael Maynard says this, quote, Kudelik's tract, despite its title, provides no documentation to help find the origin or genealogy of the term, despite its title. The tract, The Unlearned Man, The True Genealogy and Genesis of King James Version Onlyism. The True Genesis. Yet, he says, no documentation to help find the origin and genealogy of the term. Instead of documentation, says Michael Maynard, the article is filled with caustic language. Caustic language. Let's continue now. Michael Maynard says, in 1993, now we go into 1993, yet another derogatory term was coined, namely, KJV Onlyite. And KJV Onlyite. Well, if it's KJV only and KJV Onlyism, now here we have a KJV Onlyite. It made its first appearance in the tract, Kudelik Replies to KJV Onlyite. That's the tract he wrote on that. He replies to the KJV Onlyite. Now, you know, the ites like the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites. So he's got an ite in here. And this is a smear term, of course, as well. Kudelik used the term against John Sarigan in June 1993, issue of the Baptist Biblical Heritage. Now, John Sarigan is a man that he's taken our course, by the way, the King James Bible seminar. He's in our seminar one of the early years when he was there meeting in our residence and in our Bible for Day ministry. He used to be a teacher there at Maryland Baptist Bible College. He's got a church now. He's a pastor. But they use this term, KJV Onlyite, of John Sarigan. Now, Sarigan, as I say, was trained in our King James Bible seminar, and he's not a Ruckmanite, and he's not one of these people, but yet Kudelik lashes out against him as a KJV Onlyite. Well, Michael Maynard goes on, note that in contrast to Konjersky, who appreciates John W. Bergen, Kudelik cannot recommend Bergen because of his serious deficiencies. That's in quotes. That's from the Baptist Biblical Heritage, February 1993, page 10. Sarigan informed the present author in December 1996 that he repudiates Ruckman's position. Despite that, Kudelik still slandered him with this newly coined term of reproach, KJV Onlyite. This is the thing, my friend, that really rubs me the wrong way, as they say. It really gets to me. Here's a man, whether John Sarigan, whether any of these other men, whether yours truly, others that are slandered by Kudelik and others, though we defiantly protest against the Ruckman heresy, saying that the King James Bible is God-breathed, including the italics, and corrects the Hebrew and Greek from which it was taken, though we are opposed to Ruckmanism and all that he stands for, saying that the King James Bible is a special revelation, a new revelation, not simply the only accurate translation, they still slander us with this slanderous term, KJV Onlyite, KJV Only Person, and using KJV Onlyism. It's meat for the Ruckman position and that of Samuel Gipp and the followers of these two men. It's proper. KJV Only. KJV Onlyite. But to use it, as far as this is concerned with John Sarigan and others of us who are not Ruckmanites, who despise the position of Peter Ruckman, that is a slander that has no end, apparently. And I want to clarify it by this radio message and address, as I have been these last few weeks. Let me continue. Michael Maynard goes on, still on page 6 of his 12-page paper. Just what is King James Onlyism? Bob L. Ross, an editor of the former Baptist Bible Biblical Heritage, apparently it's gone out of print, Bob L. Ross would be an adequate source to inquire from. In his undated tract, What is King James Onlyism?, he provides four traits. He says the KJV only people believe. Four traits. Now again, I advertise free and postpaid King James Only, What Does It Mean? A tract that is in 8 pages. 8-page tract. And yours for the asking, free and postpaid. Just simply call us 1-800-JOHN-10-9. You've got to understand the smear of this term, King James Version Only. Here's the four characteristics the KJV only people believe, according to Bob L. Ross. Number one, that only one translation, AV 1611, is the Word of God. Let me just pause right there with that one. I don't agree with these four different characteristics because he's lumping too many people together. And certainly, I believe it's the only translation that accurately gives us the words of God in English. That's my definition. Now, you see, we come into a controversy of what is the Word of God versus the words of God. The whole Bob Jones University crowd and those that follow him at Detroit Baptist Seminary, Central Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, Maranatha Baptist Bible College, Northland Baptist Bible College, these other so-called fundamentalist schools that stand for the critical texts of Westcott and Hort, they do not believe in the preservation of the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words of the originals. We do. They say we believe in the Bible preservation, and they say they believe in the preservation of the Word of God, but not words of God. You say, well, I thought Word of God and words of God are the same. They are the same in the Bible, but they make a distinction. They make a distinction between the two. What do they mean by believing the preservation of the Word of God? Just the thoughts, the intents, the concepts, the teachings, but not the words. So the only translation is the Word of God. Well, my friend, if that's the case, the Word of God, meaning the concepts of God, the thoughts of God, we believe the only accurate translation of the words of God in English is the King James Bible, but the only one is the Word of God. Well, I would believe that. I believe that's one, but I'm not a Ruckman. I think that's a false one of the points. But let's go on. Number two, according to Bob L. Ross, no one has the right to do any further study of the Hebrew and Greek manuscripts. End of quote. I despise that. I don't agree with that at all. I believe everybody has the right to study the Hebrew and Greek manuscripts. They have a right to study the languages of Hebrew and Greek. In fact, they can study it right here from our Bible for Today ministry. We have first-year Hebrew and first-year Greek on DVD. The entire section, 8 semester hours of Hebrew, 8 semester hours of Greek. In fact, the second-year Greek we have. We go ahead with that. Then the third thing, the denial of the eternal sonship of Jesus Christ. I don't deny that. This is a blasphemous thing. I believe in the eternal sonship of Christ, just because Ruckman doesn't. Then four, free willism, or the Pelagian Arminian variety, is invariably the thinking of KJV only. Free willism? Well, I do believe that. I believe the Lord Jesus died for the sins of the world, not simply the elect. And I believe that whosoever will may come unto the Lord Jesus and be saved, just like the Philippian jailer, when he asked Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house if they also believe," in other words. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. If any man follow me, he shall, if any man come in, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible, the Defined King James Bible, and get your free tract, free and postpaid, King James Bible, or King James Only, What Does It Mean? Just call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you're going to have confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. My friend, we're going to continue this, Lord willing, next week. This is the fourth week we've been on this, King James only. What does it mean? I believe it's important because the critical text people that are on these modern versions, that are pro versions, using this King James only as a smear term, as a slanderous term for those of us who have a proper position on our King James Bible. We want to expose it for what it is. See you next broadcast. Same time, same station. Until then, so long.